Friends and neighbors, welcome. We are here at the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Columbus to stand in solidarity and faith with one another. No matter what happens or does not happen in Gainesville or New York or anywhere in the world, we have come together to join others across Ohio, our nation, and our world, to stand as people of faith on the side of love. Our religious practices will vary, but we find common cause in the values of respect and peace. There is wisdom in all faith traditions. Denying that fact impoverishes us all. And at the beginning of our time together, let me offer the refrain of our age, that being to ask you to silence your cell phones. We are thrilled you are here today on a game day, no less. So once again, welcome, friends and neighbors, welcome, one and all.
Hi, I'm Mark Bellatini. I'm the senior minister of this congregation. Here on this late summer day, we gather together in simple peace. We come from different families, different backgrounds, from a variety of religious, spiritual, and even skeptical outlooks. We read different books and regard them with diverse understandings and sometimes distinct reverence. We may not share the same spiritual languages, but we do share, however, the power and the grace of peace and respect. We are here to build bridges, not to put up walls. For we are all in this world together. There can be no outsiders in a world of peace and respect. Today is also the anniversary of an event in this nation in which thousands lost their lives 9 years ago, and the diversity of those who died on that day was even greater than the diversity in this room right now. As Rabbi Edith Jacques, a religious educator who could not be here, obviously because it is a holiday, wrote to us, "On this day, we remember with sadness the devastating loss of innocent lives taken from us by a small band who saw murder and death as an answer. We stand here today together in a firm refusal to respond with manipulation or hatred. Today, we recognize that another small band has attempted to terrorize this country by threatening to burn a book held sacred by many in this room." Rabbi Jacques continues in her letter, "It is surprising in this day and age to hear of a book burning of any kind, all the more so in our country, which has a strong basis in religious freedom. The attention it has been given is problematic, and I certainly agree with that, and a sad statement of the climate in our country. The times are tough. We all know that. However, it takes compassion, commitment, and hard work to bring people together to solve the problems of our age. And so, as Eric said, no matter what happens in Florida or New York, we do not think that one man's change of mind is the end of any of the problems that we face in the present age. We are here, therefore, in compassion and commitment to do the work, the beginning of the work for today, of bringing people together, the work of building bridges. We are here in peace. We are here in respect."
Good afternoon. My name is Ray Nandiol. Assalamu alaikum to those brothers and sisters of the Islamic faith here. Welcome to the Interfaith Solidarity Service on behalf of the Racial Diversity Task Force, the organizer of this service. A couple of media folks called us the other day to ask if the service is still on, even though Terry Jones of Gainesville, Florida, called off his threat to burn copies of the Quran. We said the service is needed not just because of one incident, but because peace and harmony in our community are always important and cannot be taken for granted. Members of the Racial Diversity Task Force have realized that race and religion are often inseparable. So we have joined hands with organizations such as the Interfaith Association of Central Ohio, Interfaith Center for Peace, Council of American Islamic Relations, to bring people together across the racial and religious spectrum. For the last few months, we've been following the fake controversy of the New York Islamic Center. And when Terry Jones started surfacing in the media with his threats, you notice I don't use Reverend in front of his name, one of our members, Michael Dobson, sent an email around asking what we intend to do about this. With the blessings of our ministers and the board, we decided to do an interfaith solidarity service and started contacting our brothers and sisters of other faiths. Sister Zirka Abid worked tirelessly to publicize the event among our Muslim friends. The response from people of all faiths was amazing. This is inspired teamwork in the short span of 2 weeks. And everyone here is part of this interfaith team. Please give yourself a hand of affirmation. Our greeter is gesturing that people, if you could move in toward the middle and leave seats, aisle seats, that would be great for people who are coming in, just trickling in. At the end of the service, there will be a snack reception in the fellowship hall. I don't know if you've seen all the baklava and all the good stuff, which is to your left as you leave the worship center. There's also a literature table in that area where you can find out more details about our task force, as well as sister organizations like the Columbus Interfaith Youth Group. Two of the interfaith youth will be speaking here. Lastly, you may have seen a number of us here wearing yellow T-shirts that say, "Standing on the Side of Love." This is a movement to mobilize people of all faiths on justice issues, such as immigration and religious tolerance. Please consider becoming part of any of these organizations so we can build a greater Columbus community that is happy, healthy, and harmonious. God bless.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Ilham Abdi. And I'm Saham Abdi. We are from the Columbus Interfaith Youth Group. In my interfaith group, we have people of different religions, and we all respect each other. We all respect each other's different beliefs and values. With so many different religions in our world, it is important for each of us to find a way to accept and respect everyone's religious views. It is critical for that each one of us look at people as human beings first, and not necessarily focus on what ethnicity, religion, or culture they represent. By doing that, we can all live more peacefully together and not be so judgmental towards each other based on first impressions. I have friends of all different backgrounds, and I accept each of them for who they are. Having friends of different backgrounds gives me the chance to be exposed to the different people who live in this world and succeed in bringing different faiths together. My interfaith youth group and I want everyone to find a way to live in pluralism. What that means is instead of just tolerating a group of people of a different background, we should try to get to know more about their beliefs and celebrate their differences. I believe that there are three types of people in this world. The first group of people are the ones who are not accepting of the differences. They make their lives harder by filling their hearts with hate, by discriminating against an entire group of people based on the actions of a few radicals. The second group of people are the ones who tolerate differences. They have the right concept, but they don't necessarily go out of their way to get to know more about the different cultures, religions, and ethnicities. The third group of people are the best example of how we can bridge gaps and live a peaceful existence. They celebrate the differences within people and are not afraid to learn about new things. They are strong with their own beliefs, but they are open-minded and willing to take chances. These are the people who are the best example of how we can finally achieve pluralism. Thank you for your support.
Eric Brown, pastor of the Woodland Christian Church Disciples of Christ on the Near East Side of Columbus. Let me see how you would feel about this. Suppose I was to say that white Christians have no business building a church two blocks from the NAACP headquarters or... or the Martin Luther King Jr. Museum, because there are some men who call themselves Christians who belong to the Ku Klux Klan. People really need to consider the ignorance of trying to punish an entire religion for the crimes of a few who say that they belong to that religion. We can't punish all Muslims for the crimes of a few men who called themselves Muslims who flew planes into the World Trade Center. I follow a man named Jesus, who we claim to be the Christ, who said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Now, what that means to me is that if you are not a peacemaker, then you can't call yourself a child of God. Another saying of Jesus is to love your neighbor like you love yourself. Or another way of putting it, which he also does in the Bible, treat others like you want to be treated. If you don't want to be lumped and discriminated against and punished and because of a few folks who claim to be in your group, commit some heinous crimes, don't do that to anybody else. Everybody in here claims to worship God. In my tradition, God is love. I regret the number of folk who call themselves Christians who aren't practicing love at the moment when it comes to Muslims who want to build mosques across this country. But the fact of the matter is that Christians are supposed to be practicing the art of love because that's who our God is. So let me just say, forgive us when we don't act like our God.
I'm Father Vinnie McKiernan from the Catholic community at OSU, the Newman Center, and very honored and humbled to be among all of you. Actions speak louder than words. So what I say is not by way of boasting, but by way of saying, witnessing to what we have been able to do to show not just religious tolerance or interfaith dialogue, but to talk about interfaith cooperation. For 4 or 5 years at the university, we've had Catholic-Muslim dialogue that meet every week. Faith Communities Uniting for Peace is hosted every first Thursday of the month to pray for peace. And on several occasions, we have had speakers from CARE, Ohio. Some years ago, Pakistani students came to us and asked if they could use our facility for their Friday prayer, and we said surely. However, they found our facility was not adequate enough. Just recently, some of our members went to Noor Mosque for a tour of that building. And then Scioto Foundation hosted the breaking of the fast at Ramadan at Ohio Union, and again, our people were there. I was there at the State House some years ago when Scioto Foundation hosted an interfaith gathering. I say that not by way of boasting, but I say that we're trying to practice not just religious tolerance, but religious cooperation. And finally, I would like to say, as a native New Yorker, I look forward to when the Episcopal Church of St. Paul and the Roman Catholic Church of St. Peter's in Ground Zero area will be joined by a community center, a mosque called Park 51.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I begin in the name of God, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I'd like to first just express my gratitude for the organizers of this event today. I really feel privileged to be partaking in this. I thought it may be appropriate for today to simply relay to you all the opening chapter of the Holy Quran entitled Surah Al-Fatiha. I'll just read out the English translation. All praise is due to God, the Lord of the worlds, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Master of the Day of Judgment. Thee do we serve, and Thee do we beseech for help. Guide us on the right path, the path of those upon whom Thou hast bestowed with Thy favors, not those upon whom Thy wrath has brought down, nor those who go astray. In this short chapter comprising of seven simple verses, we are given the chief attributes of God. We're told that God is Rabb, normally translated as Lord, but really signifying that being that not only creates, but also nourishes and fosters its creation to a stage of perfection. We're told that God is Rahman, meaning that one who has so much love for another that he feels an obligation to do good to it, even though the other may not have done anything to deserve it. We're told that God is also Rahim, meaning that upon seeing the goodness in another, God rewards that person manifold times over. And we're told that God is Malik, meaning the most perfect and just of judges. So it is my sincere prayer for all of us today that we try to incorporate these attributes in our own daily lives. May we incorporate the attribute of Rabb by nourishing each other spiritually. May we incorporate the attribute of Rahman by being tolerant and understanding of one another. May we incorporate the attribute of Rahim by supporting and encouraging one another in good works. And may we incorporate the attribute of Malik by focusing on each other's goodness and forgiving each other for our faults. Thank you very much.
So my name is Zarqa Abid, and I'm representing Interfaith Youth Group here and also Hayoz Muslims. I begin in the name of God, the most merciful, the most beneficent. My dear brothers and sisters, may peace and blessings of God be upon all of you. I begin my speech with welcoming you to the civil rights movements of 2010. It may seem to many among us that persecution of selected group of people and struggle against it is some new phenomenon. But I would like to remind you all that it is a divine movement and was initially led by prophets including Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad, peace and blessing of God be upon all of them. From children of Israel in Egypt to the Muslims in Mecca, thousands of people and hundreds of communities were persecuted for different kinds of persecution, and they all survived eventually and came out stronger and better than ever before. And their persecutors themselves were simply drowned, destroyed, or dislocated forever. In recent American history, we have seen our founding fathers carrying the same torch of civil rights liberties. We have seen persecutions against several faith-based and ethnic communities, including Jews, Mormons, Catholics, Chinese, Hispanic, Japanese, Natives, and Afro-Americans. Regardless of lengthy account of the suffering of these communities and wickedness of American people, I see a silver lining behind every single cloud. Just like the prophetic times, every single persecution ended up in producing thousands of civil rights heroes, and across the nation, and all those persecuted communities are stronger than ever before. So will be the case of American Muslim, God willing, and their persecutors will be gone forever. I'm not saying this just to cheering you up. I'm saying it because I am one of those very few individuals who have experienced the love and inclusiveness of American people and the fairness in the American system at its peak. Although I stand with bare face in front of you today, I have worn face veil and traditional burqa for 17 years. During that time, I graduated in TV production from North Carolina State University with the highest honors and several awards. As far as I know, I'm the only veiled woman who is inducted to Phi Beta Kappa and has represented my college in the U.S. Congress. I have also worked in the NBC newsroom with my covered face with traditional burqa. The support, the love, and the respect I have always received from my American friends, colleagues, and neighbors is something that reminds me and makes me believe that this all will eventually be over and it will be okay. It's only a matter of building bridges and reaching the other side. It's only about standing together and having backs of each other. And that's exactly what we are doing today. To me, each one of you is a civil rights hero. And I welcome and congratulate you all to join the club that was recently led by our beloved Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Last but not least, on the behalf of Ohio's Muslims, I would like to thank Ray Nandial, Racial Task Force of Central Ohio, and First Unitarian Universalist Church for organizing this solidarity service. By having us all under one roof in the spirit of love and respect for each other, they have practically shown to the rest of the world that we are one nation under one God. Thank you so much.
There are a number of people who can't be here today because of the holiday or because they're traveling far away or had other commitments already planned. But they wrote to us, and this comes from Rabbi Berman at Congregation Tiferet Israel. He wrote this a couple of weeks ago, and he writes, "Dear friends, I'm sorry that our Sabbath observance prevents my being with you on this day of remembrance of 9/11, a day which unfortunately has been chosen by some for the promotion of bigotry and intolerance instead of peace. The lesson of September 11th, 2001 should be that all of us need to work all the time for greater understanding and openness in the world in which we live. Solidarity is important not only on special occasions like this, and at times of threats to the peace of our communities, but always, every day. And it is important that each day we give thanks to God for the freedoms we enjoy, which are denied to so many in so many places all over the world. Please know that my thoughts and prayers are with you, as are the thoughts and prayers of the Jewish community as we observe our New Year holiday, and our Sabbath. May your prayers and your efforts help to bring us all closer to a time of peace and understanding for all people everywhere. With best wishes, Harold J. Berman, Rabbi." The next reading will be from by Eric Meter. He's going to read the words of Dr. Susan Ritchie, minister of the North Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Lewis Center, and who's also a member of the Board of Trustees of the Unitarian Universalist Association, that is our governing body. I want to say about Susan that she's made an especial study over the last 10 years in particular, along with a friend of hers who is an expert in the history of the Ottoman Empire, about the connections between Eastern European Unitarians in Hungarian-speaking areas of Europe and the Ottoman Empire. Many Unitarians actually served under the government of Suleiman as people of people who governed various areas, and he had many of the Unitarian books translated into Turkish and Arabic for them as they lived in their place. She also was quick to point out that one of the great Unitarian ancestors, Miguel Serveto, was inspired by peace between Christians, Muslims, and Jews in his preaching in Spain around just at the time after the expulsion of the Muslims and the Jews from Spain. So there's a connection historically in our particular movement to this kind of work. And she refers to one aspect of that in this letter that she's written to us.
Susan Ritchie writes, "Blessings and greetings. In 15th century Andalusia, the Iberian Peninsula of Spain, a public burning of sacred Islamic texts was held, the first wave of hatred that led to the expulsion of Jews and then the Muslims from their homelands. A beautiful culture had been marked by religious tolerance, and profound learning was utterly lost. One voice that spoke from the 12th century of that culture was Muhammad ibn Arabi, who wrote, 'My heart can take on any form, a meadow for gazelles, a cloister for monks, for the idols, sacred ground, Kaaba for the circling pilgrim, the tables for the Torah, the scrolls for the Quran. My creed is love. Wherever its caravan turns along the way, that is my belief, my faith. I hear Ibn Arabi's call now. We must all join this caravan of love. Some want us to believe that if we do so, we will be lost in the desert. I say that only if we listen to each other and respectfully accompany each other, only if we each speak aloud our own name of God, shall we know the holy at all. Only this will prevent yet another senseless destruction of a beautiful and vibrant land, our inheritance only when shared. Thank you for the gathering in the name of tolerance and love."
And lastly, Jolinda Stevens, the religious educator here at this congregation, will read from the Reverend Tim Ahrens, senior minister of the First Congregational Church of Columbus, the United Church of Christ. He sent this letter to us from Cairo, Egypt. He's been on sabbatical in the Middle East for quite a few months, and he writes these words.
"Dear friends," he says, "throughout the summer, I have submitted over 65 blogs to the Faith and Values section of the Columbus Dispatch, writing on the points of unity and divisions between Muslims, Christians, and Jews. I have shared my experience in the Middle East and Spain. Currently, I am in Cairo, Egypt. I have been following the story of the small Florida church set to burn Qurans on Saturday, September 11th. General David Petraeus, commander of the American Fighting Forces in Afghanistan, has declared that this action, quote, could endanger troops and it could endanger the overall effort, end quote. General Petraeus is absolutely correct. For any Christian to burn Islam's holiest book is like throwing an incendiary device on relationships between Muslims and Christians worldwide. This will be particularly true for American Christians. This action will not only endanger our troops, it will endanger the fragile relationships between Muslims and American missionaries, Peace Corps workers, medical workers, diplomats, teachers, students, tourists, and Holy Land pilgrims. I shared this evolving story with one Coptic Christian friend here in Egypt. He was horrified when I described the unfolding event. He said, quote, if radical Muslims cannot respond against Americans, they may turn on local Christians in whatever country they are in. Here, that means me and my family. This is a very bad idea, end quote. The religious communities I know, however, have a very good idea. Thoughtful conversation, honest cooperation, respect, and peace. Sincerely yours, the Reverend Tim Ahrens.
All most compassionate, peace be upon you. It's with my great pleasure and to speak to you on behalf of the Noor Islamic Cultural Center community of 10,000 members. I want to take this opportunity to thank the Racial Diversity Task Force of Central Ohio and the First Unitarian Universalist Church for hosting this gathering. I also would like to thank the pianist for such a beautiful music, which I like. Anything with the name of God on it should be treated with the highest respect. The beauty of the American Constitution is that it provides for us with the freedoms of religious practice and the freedom of speech, besides other guarantees of the pursuit of happiness and the liberty. Most immigrants who left their homeland and came to America were looking for those guarantees. I make a plea to every American to speak up against this heinous act of burning the Quran. It's hateful. It's heartful. It's hateful and heartful act. Let us get together and discuss and debate our teachings in peace and stop every effort which will divide us and divide this land of ours. America was founded on the basis of freedoms of speech and religion. Let us use those freedoms to bring us all closer together and closer to each other and to strengthen our nation instead of creating divisions. The Noor Islamic Cultural Center of Dublin, Ohio, selects the September 26, 2010 as a Share the Quran Day to distribute 200 copies of the Quran in response to the hateful call of Reverend Terry Jones of the Dove World Outreach Center in Florida to burn copies of the Quran this Saturday. We invite all who are interested in receiving a free copy of the Quran to stop by our center that day, the 26th of September, between the hours of 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. to get their copy. And we'll have guest speakers also in that event. We condemn the act of burning the Quran and call on our fellow Muslims, locally, nationally, and worldwide, to be calm, obey the law, and not react with hate and violence, but with peace. We call all Islamic centers and mosques across America to follow our example and share 200 copies of the Quran on September 26, 2010. May God bless America and protect this great nation of ours from all the mischief of evildoers. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Alicia Rivers. I am a commissioned deacon in the United Methodist Church.
I consider myself a devout Christian. There are times when I think my Christianity and everyone else's, who calls themselves Christian, is the very thinnest of veneers on our Jewish brothers and sisters' faith, because we come so directly from them. Today, out of respect for the Quran, I'm bringing a copy with me to this pulpit. Jamal actually handed me a bag with the Quran in it when I was attending the iftar at his Noor Islamic Center recently. And I find words in the Quran that speak to me as if they were coming from my own scriptures. I will just share a few sentences with you. It is He who sends down water for you from the sky, from which comes a drink for you, and the shrubs that you feed to your animals. With it, He grows for you grain, olives, palms, vines, and all kinds of crops. He has made the night and day, the sun, moon, and stars of all benefit to you. There truly are signs in this for those who use their reason. He has made of benefit to you the many colored things He has multiplied on the earth. There truly are signs in this for those who take it to heart. It is He who made the sea of benefit to you. Can He who creates be compared to one who cannot create? Why do you not take heed? If you count God's blessings, you could never take them all in. He is truly most forgiving and most merciful. Your God is the one God. And may God's blessings be added to the readings of this holy word. My daughter, whom I confess I've not always had the most peaceful of relationships with, was telling me that in the 2 to 3 minutes I told her were allotted for this occasion, that I needn't worry, because how we express ourselves is actually how we live beyond any 2 or 3 minutes. It's the way that we live in every moment of our lives, and therefore we should not think that we are ever limited to 2 or 3 minutes. She probably shouldn't have said that. But. I'd like to tell you my response to what's been going on in this country of late. I try always to provide the context of what great religions do. And in the psychology of religion, we learn that great religions provide background and context for one to get through one's life and one's day. And what I discovered when I attended the iftar in conversation with so many faithful Muslims there is that their lives are so very well structured around what gives it foundation and grounding. And I appreciate what I know about Islam for that reason. I heard a story on NPR about the flooding in Pakistan, where the announcer was talking about the experience of being in a village that had just been overcome with the flood. The floods had receded, and the person whom this person was interviewing was talking about making the plans to have their iftar that evening, serving her family in the space where their animals had stayed. And I thought, yes, God, you have given these people the best way that there is to have to carry on with their lives. You have given them a way to focus on your goodness and on structure for themselves. I also discovered the hospitality that night of the iftar. There were young girls serving us dinner, and I said, when do you get to break your fast? And the young woman I was speaking to said, oh, I don't mind. And I thought, what generosity and what understanding. I also heard that there were people who would be showing up at 9:30 that night to pray between then and midnight. And I thought, my goodness, what I am lacking in my Christian life. And so what I have carried away from my time of meditating upon what I have learned from my Muslim friends lately is that I would like to be more intentional about my own spiritual life. And I'd like to share the prayer with you that I've decided to take with me and to learn to memorize as a part of that spiritual life, as another sign of honor and respect to what I am learning from my Muslim friends. You don't have to pray it with me if you don't like. It's coming from my heart, which is what my daughter said. Carry it in your heart, and your time will not be limited to 2 to 3 minutes. God of grace, strengthen us to answer with brave hearts your call to help shape a world, not of death and depression, but of life and hope. God of mercy, strengthen us to help shape a nation where diversity is a source of enrichment, compassion is common, suffering lightened through sharing, justice attended to, joy pervasive, hope lived, and where together with you and with each other we build what is beautiful, true, and worthy of your generosity to us, an echo of your kingdom. With the passion of the prophets and in your persistent and insistent spirit, we say amen and amen.
In the name of God, God of Noah, God of Ibrahim, God of Moses, Musa, God of Jesus, Isa, God of Muhammad, most gracious, most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, I greet you with the greeting of Islam, and the greeting of Islam, if Islam is salam, that is peace. So I tell you, peace be upon you all. The Quran teaches us why we are created different. O mankind, we created you from a single pair of a male, that is Adam, and a female, that is Eve, Hawa in Arabic, and made you into nations and tribes, that you may know each other. And Islam encourages us to be positive, contributing members of both our communities and our environment. Here are some of the teachings of Islam. God is the provider of all his creatures, and the most beloved to God is those among you who are most beneficial to his creatures. We are also told, if you happen to witness the start of the doomsday, and you have a plant, and if you live enough just to plant it, then do so. We are also told, if a Muslim plants a tree and men and beasts and birds eat from it, all of it is charity for him. Dear brothers and sisters, we gather here today as Americans, and what is good for America is good for all of us. And what hurts America hurts all of us. We Muslims are part of the society and serving all as doctors, engineers, teachers, business
people, and so on and so forth. Throughout history, minorities have come under attack, particularly during times of economic hardships. Our country is going through hardship today, and some people are lashing out against minorities in their anxiety about the future. But we all need to all stick together and help each other through these difficult times. This is what will make our country strong and among the great successes of nations in the world. We condemned the act of few deranged men of 9/11 that caused the death of thousands of innocent men and women, including many Muslims. Islam forbids the killing of innocent men and women. Islam even forbids killing the birds except for the necessity of food. We cannot learn to live together and break down the barriers that divide us unless we get to know each other better. I would like to thank my friend Ray and Sister Zarqa and all those who worked hard to put together this great event. And we are calling for continued interfaith efforts for the benefit of all of us Americans. And I'd like you to try the baklava that the Islamic Society of Greater Columbus is donating, and you will not regret it. Believe me, it's excellent. Thank you very much.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon all of you. First, I want to thank you all so much for inviting us here today, for putting this event together, for taking a proposed act of hate and turning it into a reason for hope. You know, it's comforting to hear all of these sentiments, all these messages encouraging healing and peaceful coexistence in this country. You know, and I echo each and every one of those sentiments and want to briefly add a few of my own. First and foremost, you know, why was this day chosen for such a hateful act? The reason we should really be here today in unity, a big reason that we are, is to honor the lives of the innocent lost on September the 11th, 2001. You know, every American was attacked that day. We all lost brothers and sisters of all of our faiths that day. And let me make something perfectly clear on behalf of all of my neighbors, my Muslim friends, my brothers and sisters, people I worship with, people I deal with every day. We condemn terrorism on no uncertain terms. As individuals and through our community organizations, like the Columbus Chapter of the Council on American-Islamic Relations, American Muslims have repudiated those attacks from day one, and we reiterate that condemnation today. Our religion preaches peace, mutual respect, and understanding. We value life, and we believe in peaceful coexistence, in freedom, and everyone's constitutional rights, our basic human rights. And we reach out and offer our hand to others who believe in the same. You know, another thing the Quran teaches is that we should want for our fellow man what we want for ourselves. And that's another creed we base our daily lives upon. You know, a group of people claiming to represent their faith, twisting its tenets and misguiding others, plan to burn copies of the Quran today, to exploit this tragic anniversary for publicity or for personal gain. It's a shame that manufactured controversies cast a shadow over the true meaning of this day. No one has to tell me they do not stand for Christianity. Just as a group of people claiming to represent my faith carried out horrendous acts on this day 9 years ago. So thank you for standing beside your Muslim neighbors and sharing the truth and bringing us here today. And thank you for standing up against today's plans in Florida. You know, if a Christian does something which is unchristian, that act does not and should not define their faith. And if a Muslim carries out an action which is un-Islamic, you know, I don't care how many times they mention the name of God Almighty or the names of our prophets, peace be upon them all, that person does not define my faith or represent me or my neighbors. So with this realization, you let us remember today as we resolve, as a day that we resolve to work toward healing in this country and encourage others to move away from acts of provocation and hate. You know, American Muslims are here in this house, in this country, because we share the core values which built this nation. We want the same things out of life that you do. You know, over the course of history, many religions have fallen victim to misinterpretation, either deliberately or by people who were misinformed. You know, yesterday it was the Catholics, it was the Jews, today it's Muslims, tomorrow it could be your beliefs or someone else's beliefs. So it's up to people of conscience, like those of you here today, to seek and to embrace and to promote the truth. And so we seek this from the rest of our society. Thank you very much.
I'm Eric Williams, Senior Pastor of North Congregational United Church of Christ on Henderson Road, and it's my honor to stand in solidarity in this great assembly of many faiths and declare that God is still speaking to us today. And God is still speaking through us, telling us, Salam, Shalom, peace to you in the name of the God of Sarah and of Abraham. Thank you. Thank you to our good neighbors of First Unitarian Universalist Church for inviting us to join our voices together, to affirm our differing faiths, and to honor our common concerns, our grief on this National Day of Remembrance, our constitutional right to practice our religion in freedom, our frustration with our nation's racial and religious and economic anxieties, and our celebration of our cultural diversity within our communities. A favorite hymn we sing at North Church begins with this verse: bring many names, beautiful and good. Celebrate in parable and story, holiness in glory, living, loving God. Hail and Hosanna, bring many names. In the many names of the God of Sarah and Abraham, Salam, Shalom, peace be within and among us all.
My name is Robert Reber, and I'm the Vice President of the Interfaith Association of Central Ohio, an organization that will soon celebrate the 25th anniversary of its founding here in the city of Columbus. The Interfaith Association is honored to be part of this commemoration of 9/11, a day of remembrance for the victims and their families, loved ones, and friends. On this occasion, we are only too well aware of the tragic consequences of that horrific event 9 years ago, and how far we still have to go in healing the wounds of human suffering and confronting prejudices and embracing the rich and challenging pluralism of American society. I was living and working in Manhattan when 9/11 occurred. It is the closest I have ever come to witnessing the ravages of terrorism and experiencing the aftermath of destruction. The smog, the stench, and the ash of the World Trade Center are permanently lodged in the memory of my senses. Two close friends, daughter, who was born and raised here in Ohio, was a flight attendant on the plane that hit the second tower. They and 200 other survivors are working through their grief and pain, in part by founding the organization called 9/11 Families for a Peaceful Tomorrow. They are committed to building a more peaceful, a more just society that truly embraces people from all walks of life and builds bridges both locally, nationally, and internationally across religious, social, and political boundaries. I trust that we are here today to continue the work others have begun and are doing. If we as religious communities had been doing what the best of our religious traditions commits us to, maybe 9/11 would never have happened. We will never know. But we do know that we are here today and that we can make a difference by truly loving God and our neighbors in concrete ways through political action, community development, and paying closer attention to whom we invite to sit around our tables, both in public and private lives. As we become more inclusive, our society may become more inclusive and value positively religious pluralism. Let us go in peace to be peacemakers wherever we find ourselves in the days and months ahead.
My name is Joseph Weider, and I'm from Senator Sherrod Brown's office here in Columbus, Ohio. It's an honor for me to be here with you today. Senator Brown apologizes for not being able to be here. He did, however, want me to deliver remarks with you here today. The senator writes, "Dear Dr. Reverend Bellatini, thank you for organizing the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Columbus's Interfaith Solidarity Service event. To all those who are attending today's service, members of your church, followers of other faiths, and supporters of religious tolerance and a pluralist society, thank you for joining a discussion on faith, activism, and social justice. It's a timely and timeless discussion. Today we honor those who lost their lives 9 years ago, thousands of innocent people from all walks of life and all beliefs of faith. September 11, 2001, brought us together as a nation. We set aside partisan differences, geographic differences, and yes, religious differences to come together as Americans. While the horrible and tragic acts of that day prompted military action, it's critical to remember that we are fighting against terrorism, not against any religion. We cannot win the fight against terrorism if we lose sight of that fact. The United States remains the exemplar of democracy, while freedoms of speech and assembly grant broad rights of expression, even hateful ones. These same freedoms allow us to join with our friends and neighbors of all racial, ethnic, and religious backgrounds to give voice in support of the freedom of religion that is equally fundamental to who we are as Americans. These very freedoms define our strength as a nation and as a people. In April 1790, George Washington wrote, quote, "For happily the government of the United States, which gives to bigotry no sanction, to persecution no assistance, requires only that they who live under its protection should demean themselves as good citizens and giving it on all occasions their effectual support," end quote. 9 years ago, our nation's shared shock and fear was soon supplanted by compassion and unity. Since George Washington's time, our nation has fought bigotry and persecution and welcomed those who cherish freedom for thought and action and worship. It is this spirit of solidarity we reaffirm today. Sincerely, Sherrod Brown, United States Senator of Ohio.
Friends, I invite us to join together in a time of prayer or meditation or focused thought according to the customs of our many faith traditions. Our God and God of all ages and all peoples,
on this Sabbath between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, this Sabbath of return, we pray for open hearts, open hands, open minds.
We pray for an end to animosity and a return to affability.
We pray for an end to bigotry and a return to blessing.
We pray for an end to cruelty and a return to caring.
We pray for an end to deception and a return to devotion.
We pray for an end to enmity, a return to engagement.
We pray for an end to fault-finding and a return to forgiveness.
We pray for an end to greed and a return to generosity.
We pray for an end to hostility and a return to heartfulness.
We pray for an end to injustice and a return to integrity.
We pray for an end to jingoism and a return to judiciousness.
We pray for an end to clannishness and a return to kindness.
We pray for an end to lewdness and a return to love.
We pray for an end to maliciousness, a return to mercy.
We pray for an end to nastiness and a return to niceness.
We pray for an end to obstinacy, a return to open-mindedness.
We pray for an end to prejudice and a return to peacefulness.
We pray for an end to querulousness, a return to quietude.
We pray for an end to ridicule and a return to respect.
We pray for an end to selfishness and a return to sacrifice.
We pray for an end to trash talk and a return to tact.
We pray for an end to violence and a return to values.
We pray for an end to warfare and a return to welcoming.
We pray for an end to xenophobia and a return to examination of ourself.
We pray for an end to yelling insults and a return to yielding ground.
We pray for an end to zero sum and a return to zeal for cooperation.
May this alphabet of prayers reflect the breadth of our sincerity for all peoples at all times. For all faiths.
Amen.
Here is a 5,000-year-old Hindu blessing. Sarve bhavantu sukhina, may all be happy. Sarve santu niramaya, may all be healthy. Sarve bhadrani pashyantu, may all realize what is good. Ma kakshit dukkhamanuyat, and may all be free from suffering.
The service is almost ended. We're going to keep a moment of silence before that, and then we're going to sing a song. Now, not everyone has within their religious tradition the custom of singing songs. You've heard the tune, however, played a couple of times, and there are gray books in front of you that you can share. So turn to 123, but we're going to keep a moment of silence before we sing, and I'll ask you to rise up when it's time to sing. It's much easier to sing when your body is lifted up. Now, those of you who don't want to sing, that's fine. Enjoy the concert. It's a beautiful song. But we will be together in silence for a moment, and then I'll close the service. We are here in peace. We are here with respect. Remember to join us for a conversation and some food afterward in the social hall, which is out on the gallery and to the left. It's one thing to talk from pulpit to chair. It's another thing to talk face to face. And there are many people here who could have a great deal of conversation that would be of benefit to the world. So if you can stay for a while, please do. To close, again, words from Rabbi Edith Jacques, who wrote, "Last week, in synagogues around the world, Jews read this verse from the book of Deuteronomy, Devarim. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curse. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." The Jewish community is resolute to choose the path of life, to choose the path of blessings and of peace. Book burning is not on this path. Book burning is not an exchange of ideas. It is a refutation of an open mind. Book burning is not a dialogue or a conversation. It is the closing of a door to any relationship. Book burning is not building a bridge. It is burning it down. We stand in solidarity with our Muslim brethren and all those gathered here today. May we all be committed to building bridges of understanding, to create a shared future together, and to always stand on the side of life and peace. And may the day come soon when our gatherings are not needed as a protest, but only as a celebration of life. As the Boran people of Kenya pray each day, "When I speak, keep me from calumny. When I am satisfied, keep me from pride. Let me pass this day and all my days in peace." And finally, as the Buddhists pray, "Just as a mother with her own life protects her only child from hurt, so within yourself foster a similar limitless concern for every living being on earth." So be it. The service is ended. Let us go in peace.